Hey folks, I'm Dr. Amy Perlman. I'm coming at you from the AUA in Washington, D.C. I have my partner in podcast, Dr. Larry Lipschultz.
Yes, I'm nice being here, for better or worse. We're stuck. You're stuck with
me. I'm stuck with him. And we have Dr. Rachel Rubin, and we are in her hometown. Rachel, say hello to the crew.
Hi, everybody. I'm so thrilled. I had to force you guys to come to my hometown.
I know. We tried to get you to Houston.
I know.
And she's so resistant.
I am resistant, but I will come to Houston. I'm so happy you guys are here and doing this really important work to talk to everybody, because people, not everyone gets to come to the meeting, and not everyone wants to, like, the takeaways, right? They want to know what's going on.
You're a highlight of the meeting.
I am always a highlight of any meeting, right?
Oh my
like,
God.
Come on. Who wouldn't want to hear more about the things that I have to say?
So you had mentioned, we were chatting before we started recording, and you were helping to lead two workshops, right? Instructional courses, but you actually have other courses that you've done in the past, but there's a limit on only doing two courses.
They only let us do two courses. Yeah. And so I had to choose. I had to pick my favorites this year. And we had two great courses. The first one is the GSM guidelines. So the guidelines in genitourinary syndrome of menopause, which were published last year, but this is actually the third year we've taught this course. It was whole room was filled. There were 100 people online watching. It is actually, this is a fun fact, because I know you've been a part of quite a few guidelines. Mm-hmm. My GSM guidelines are the most ever accessed AUA guidelines of all time. And they were just published just last year. So it's so important. And to get urologists to realize how important this topic is 50% of women will experience GSM in their lives. And 50% of people love women who experience GSM. So this affects everybody in the population. And so it's really fun that we're starting to get urologists to realize how important this is for urology and how this is basic urologic care. And then the other course is the female sexual medicine course, which I teach with Erwin Goldstein, who's my mentor. And it's a full circle moment, because I was a young resident, a junior resident, and I stole my chief resident's course badge and I snuck into this course when I was a junior resident.
Who was teaching it?
It was Erwin Goldstein, Andrew Goldstein, who's a gynecologist and very high in the field, and Ken Peters. And three men were teaching about female sexual medicine. And I sat in the audience and I said, this is what I'm going to do with the rest of my life.
How many women were in that space at that time?
None. It was Erwin.
None.
It was Erwin, right?
And, not a single one.
And so I walked up to him at that meeting. This was now, a million years ago. And I said, I'm going to be your fellow in 5 years. I'll see you then. And I've been teaching.
His mouth dropped open.
He's like, who are you? And I've been teaching the course with him every year pretty much since I've graduated my fellowship. And so it's a full circle. It's just such a beautiful thing to get to teach with your mentor who you love so much. And he continues to advance and innovate in the field. And just what I realize is that I'm really good at helping amplify his message and help to spread the word and get people to know that they can do this, they should do this. So it's really fun. And then I got to be on the plenary for the very first time this year, talking about the removal of the box labeling on estrogen products and the advocacy that we've done for years.
Can you explain what that means?
Yeah,
that
so for means. Anyone, okay, so this is really important for everyone to listen. So hormone therapy is a treatment for menopause, or hot flashes, night sweats, preventing osteoporosis, and for the genital and urinary symptoms of menopause. So women get UTIs at all ages, and it's often a hormonal cause. And so we have known that local hormones to prevent UTIs is extremely safe, effective, and very underused. And one of the problems is in the early 2000s, the FDA put a warning label on all hormone therapy products.
A black
box, very severe, the most severe warning label. And it said stroke, blood clots, heart attacks, and probable dementia. Mm-hmm. The problem? None of the studies said that that was true. It was never true. It was a misinterpretation of data that actually had nothing to do with the type of hormone
therapy.
What was
the impetus to put it on there?
A press conference by the NIH. That was it. It was a press conference about the Women's Health Initiative data, which was a billion-dollar study the NIH did, before the paper was published in JAMA. There was no social media back then. We didn't have all of you back then. What happened was they did a press conference, and every newspaper, top of the fold, and Matt Lauer got on TV, and all the people got on TV and said, hormones are dangerous, right? Look what happened to him ultimately. 20 years, these warning labels persisted, not because they were correct, but because there was no push strong enough to get the labels removed. So we advocated, we went to the FDA a couple of times and were turned away. And then in July, we were all brought, just like you all were brought for testosterone, which was magnificent. We were brought in July to talk about women's hormone therapy. And then in November, they announced that, hey, you guys are right. We're removing these box warning labels. And so in my wildest dreams, I didn't know that we were going to get here. And then I got to be on stage to help announce it. And it was myself and Kelly Casperson, who's also a urologist, right? Two urologists were on stage to announce this monumental advance.
But you know what's so interesting to me is that we have the same problem.
It's
with
the exact same
with
problem.
With testosterone.
Yeah, 100%.
But I don't think right now, looking at how things have changed with women in medicine and women's voices, I think it was easier for you now to get it done than it's going to be for us.
So the truth is it is the same story. The exact same story. And I'm a big advocate for men's testosterone, just as I am for female testosterone. And actually, the more advocacy we can get around male testosterone, deregulating it, increasing the indications, and then getting a female testosterone.
But you know what we really should? We should have the women's movement, whatever umbrella it is, working with us. I don't think we have it.
From your lips to God's ears, Larry. I'm here waiting to talk. I'm here. Like, we're here to help you. Are you kidding?
We're in
like,
Washington.
This is the whole point. This idea that it's men versus women.
Yeah.
We are all suffering with the exact same problems. And the same, it's the same advocacy. And it is actually Helen, Bernie, and I were at a session yesterday on aging, research and aging. She presented the male testosterone data. I presented the female data. We gave the exact same lecture, essentially. And it was like, we need to go on the road and have these conversations because men care about women. Women care about men. People like, and everybody is affected by the change in their hormone levels,
right,
as you talk about every
right.
day. So the truth is, yes, we need a lot more. We have proven that advocacy works. And the AUA
see,
has been very supportive.
But women organize so much better as a group than men do.
But here's what I've learned. I've learned that advocacy starts with one person.
Right.
Because when I think of who the best advocate is, honestly, in the entire organization of the AUA, I think of Rachel Rubin.
That's wild.
And she's a party of one. Now, she's a party of a lot of
people.
But
I'm building an army. We're building an army.
You're building an army. But you single-handedly are like an incredible advocate.
But let me just say something. You know, I was on the board of the some study section or whatever it is of the FDA when Plan B came.
Yeah.
And women organized. Women were out there. You know, they had, you know, when you do this, they have a big area where people can come and make comments.
So
women or men do not organize.
So men don't organize yet, because I would argue, right, when certain presidential campaigns happen, people do organize when they care about something enough. Men, here's my takeaway on the hormone piece. Men don't get castrate. Men get depleted.
Exactly.
They get a little lower. It's not a 10-alarm fire. Every woman is castrate over the age
right.
of 50.
I agree.
And there's a 10-alarm fire because you have 30-something FDA-approved products for testosterone. So the issue is not as like dire, because the men who are obsessed with testosterone
yeah,
are
but
on
we
a
have,
lot of
we
it.
Have products.
You have, but
we
you
have products,
problems.
But the indications are not the right indications.
So what I love is that you see me in the work and that there's this interest in working together
yes,
to like find solutions.
For sure.
What I find though is that we get the women's health stuff, right? If you look at something like the Sexual Medicine Society of North America meeting, I love the Sexual Medicine Society of North America meeting. Every topic was a male topic, and there's one topic on a female topic. You all have a lot to learn, though, about the what we're doing and how we're advancing sexual medicine. And so the more we get let women and women's sexual health into those rooms, it actually advances the men's sexual health.
It does.
We're expanding our understanding of female orgasm, right? Erwin has this amazing research that it's going to help male orgasm. And if we just start listening and expanding those conversations, but it's a challenge to get into those rooms, Larry. It's a challenge. To get invited into those spaces.
Well, I will
and
make
to
sure
be,
whatever
well,
I can
what,
do.
But this is what's so helpful,
in.
Right?
But,
and it's been wonderful. And the AUA actually has been incredibly supportive. They so when we did this, we got HHS and the AUA to sign a document of basically announcing public service campaign that we're going to really stress UTI prevention with vaginal estrogen. And I would love to see some, and we got the SMS the Sexual Medicine Society of North America to sign on to the GSM guidelines. And the key is how we amplify that. How do we get, because that helps men. Right. We put in more penile implants if we treat the women's, atrophic vaginitis, their GSM. Yeah. You're going to put in more implants because there's someplace for the implants to go. Right. And the women. So it's really important. Like I talk about this, right? Like vaginal estrogen is female Viagra. Right? It helps with arousal. It helps with orgasm. It helps with lubrication. So it's a sex drug. It helps with urination, frequency, and urgency, but it prevents UTIs. So it's even better than Viagra. And so the problem is not safety. It's not cost. It's marketing. This is just a simple story about marketing.
I know, but so in your space.
Yeah.
Is there big pharma behind estrogen?
Because it's generic.
See,
one gives a crap. But here's the thing.
Say something. Everything at this meeting.
It's about money.
Is about it's about big pharma driving what we do. If you look, there is not one male fertility drug.
No,
not one.
They don't care.
Why? Because there's no money.
There's no money in it. So you and I have the same problem. And so that's why I had to sort of go around it in order to get the, like, thank God, again, the FDA commissioner is no longer the FDA commissioner, but he understood how big of a problem this was. We have never had a man as the FDA commissioner get up on stage and say, menopause hormone therapy matters. This is important. We got it wrong for 20 years. It's revolutionary to get men to stand up on behalf of women. Right. And I agree with you. It'll be revolutionary to get women standing up for men too.
Yes.
And it's not a competition. Like, we were cheering you along.
We don't have to do a march on Washington, do we? I don't want to do that.
We don't have to do a march, but like, but I actually think there is a beautiful multi-level marketing campaign that is like finding ways to get everyone to pay attention to us.
I agree. Working together is much better than working by ourselves.
Totally. Well, look, what I'll say is this. You took a very unsexy topic, right? And you made it to be the most popular AUA guideline.
It's unbelievable.
Without pharmaceutical companies supporting you, right? Which should be an example for every cause that everyone else cares about.
Yeah.
Because you started at the ground roots.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Like,
thank you. That's so nice of you to say. And it is what, for the young people that might be watching this, and the truth is this is not an overnight success story. I started, if you look at my Twitter, my pinned thread is from 2019. I just got out of fellowship, and the UTI guidelines came out, the recurrent UTI guidelines, which state very clearly that vaginal hormones should be used to prevent UTI. I said, but no one's doing it. No one's writing it. No one cares. Like, we have this perfect drug that is generic and inexpensive, and no one's using it. And so I wrote this very long thread, and it was the most shared. Twitter was popular back then. It was the most shared thread. Hundreds of thousands of people shared it and learned something. And it was from there that we then advocated for the guideline. We got the guideline in 2025. And again, money. The AUA only did it because we got PCORI to pay for it. We got a grant from the patient-centered research team, so they didn't have to pay for it. We all did the work for free. We met on Zoom. It cost them nothing. And now they get to take credit for it. I'm like, look what we did, right? Look what we did, which good for them, right? So for the trainees learning.
But you ended up where you wanted to
go. We got where we wanted to be. And it was that through that advocacy, both at the social media level and at the work of the guideline level, because we created a guideline. And so you have to be academic. You have to do research, right? We are both publishing, and we're also convincing other people to do work in this space. And then it gets louder. You got to get louder. You got to tell stories. You got to get to the heartstrings. Like I got, you know, very popular because at the FDA, I told a story about how, you know, I got to stare down the head of the FDA and I said, your box label tried to kill my mother.
And look what happened.
Right? And like, well, true. But you tell stories that connected to people, that this is about urosepsis prevention, which hospital systems should care about. Insurance companies should care about this. Industry about it, right? Like, and that's where it becomes, it's marketing. Like, and we don't teach doctors much about marketing, but you market, you have to sell fertility treatments. You have to sell that you're going to open up someone's testicle to like do stuff. You sell, you're a salesman, but we don't get people to realize that like we have to sell these things, and like that's what gets change. And so when we're mad about something, when we're frustrated about the system, you can advocate and find ways to sort of make it better, maybe.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I always love chatting with you. Rachel, where can people learn more about all you're doing?
Oh, come follow me. I'm very popular. I have a great newsletter, actually, rachelrubinmd.com. It's very
I save
popular.
Everyone.
Oh, that's so nice.
I have a whole folder.
That's so nice. And so we have a very popular newsletter where we're really sharing research and education advocacy. And then Instagram, Twitter.
And you're coming? She's coming to
Dr.
Houston.
Houston. Very true. And I'm going to come to Houston.
We'll do our webcast.
We'll do our podcast. It's called a podcast, Larry. It's called a podcast.
Ours is a webcast.
Oh, it's a webcast. So it's called a webcast, people. It's a webcast.
Oh my God. Yes, it's a studio film.
I love that. I love that. No, the seeing the two of you together is actually like you see, you are always an innovator in the in this field, and you aren't, and the reason why you don't burn out and you don't feel like you're not going to stop anytime
soon. 80 years.
How
long have you been doing this? 100 years?
150 years? Like, but you see how, you see what's important to get the word out. You're not done. There's so much work to do in your space.
There is.
And so that's why, and then you're partnering with amazing humans, and that's what changes the world.
Amazing
is that collaboration.
You are an amazing human.
She is. Oh my gosh. Anyway,
Rachel,
thank you for having me.
Until next time.
Yes.